Hello everyone and welcome to the podcast. This is Father Narek from St. Sarkis Church with my weekly podcast. Today we have an exciting show for you. I will be speaking about women of 1915, answering your questions about our church. We have an interview with our youth program director. We will have our Bible reflection and a hymn. But first I would like to start our show and our day with a prayer. O Lord, direct our course into the path of peace. O Lord, direct and lead our souls and the souls of all the faithful to proceed into the path of righteousness and into eternal life. Christ, our God, leader of life and giver of peace, guide us to walk into your path with justice and to arrive at the harbor of life and salvation by the grace of your mercy. For you are our helper, and to you is befitting glory, dominion, and honor, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. May the peace of God be unto all. Amen. Today, I would like to comment on an event I attended on the weekend. The local ARS chapters, the Armenian Relief Society chapters, Mayr and Ereponi, have organized fundraisers to support the upcoming documentary, Women of 1915. During the Armenian Genocide and its immediate aftermath, both Armenian women and those from different countries intent of helping the Armenians were instrumental in saving the lives of the innocent. This is the premise of the new documentary by award-winning filmmaker Barat Maronian. The title of the documentary is Women of 1915. The Armenian Relief Society of the Eastern United States is sponsoring this new film project to be completed by April 2015 in commemoration of the Armenian Genocide. As most of you know, the filmmaker Maronian previously made the documentary named Orphans of the Genocide, which aired on PBS in several markets across the United States and was viewed by more than 12 million people. In Women of 1915, Maronian continues the conversation from the perspective of the women who put their own lives in peril to collect, protect, and house orphans who would have otherwise perished. The event was graciously hosted at the residence of Narine and Sandy Petropoulos. The program included artistic performance by singer, songwriter, and a good friend of mine, Husher. Part of the program also included a sampling of the previous work of Maronian, Orphans of the Genocide. And it was so moving that the audience was literally moved to tears. I was asked to make the opening remarks of the event, and in my remarks, I thanked the IRS for sponsoring this event. And I want to say that, unfortunately, in the past, most of our Armenian organizations would organize events to commemorate a historic event or to honor a person. But this event, I thought it was very unique because the Armenian Relief Society is investing in the future. Because it is through movies and documentaries like this, we will spread awareness and people would know about the Armenian Genocide. I also said that the genocide is not something that we commemorate once a year in the month of April. The genocide is something that is present. It is a reality that we have to deal with every day. I chose to speak about the genocide today because most of you know that over the weekend, the Islamic State, also known as ISIS, destroyed the Armenian Genocide Memorial Church in Erzur, as it has been reported by news agencies in the Middle East. This memorial monument was built in 1989 through 1990, and it was consecrated a year later by Catholicos Karakin II of the Great House of Cilicia. It was a genocide memorial and a museum housing remains of the victims of the genocide that was built in the church compound. Thousands of Armenians from Syria and neighboring countries gathered at the memorial every year on April 24 to commemorate the genocide. I would say that Deir Zor is the Auschwitz of the Armenian genocide. And for this terrorist organization to destroy this monument, to me, that is a continuation of the atrocities that the Ottoman Empire started 100 years ago. Those who think that these two events are separate events, they have nothing to do with one another, I would say that is naive, because Turkey is systematically destroying our Armenian communities that were established as a result of the Armenian genocide. And this monument was a reminder of the evil that was committed by the Ottoman Empire. Now, here's the thing. Turkey and its allies can destroy monuments, can destroy towns, can deploy Armenians from the Middle East. But no one can take from our hearts the wound that has been caused by the genocide. And that is giving us the conviction that our cause is just and that justice will prevail. We need to be focused and we need to work on this together to honor the memory of our innocent victims. I'd like to read a comment that I received on my Facebook page about the first podcast, which was released a month ago. Dear Father Narek, with all due respect to you and Serpazan, the first podcast, not sure about the rest, the discussion is at such a high level that it provides few specifics about the issues we face and approaches we can take today. Why, for example, are we not recruiting young men in the USA? For example, could we discuss all the people leaving our church and how we can prevent that? I am going to continue to listen to the interview. I know that we need to be respectful of our leadership, and I know and I like Serpazan. However, the bottom line is that 80 to 95% of Armenians in the USA do not go to an Armenian Apostolic Church on a given Sunday. And that is my estimation from a city with three such churches. And during the summer, it is far worse. Armenian Americans have voted with their feet and pocketbooks for 40 years now. Perhaps we can pay for the mortgage and light heat bill if we are lucky, but we need to stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Orthodox teaching of the one true God. If we pretend we don't have problems, we will never address them and we will never realize solutions. First off, I would like to thank the person for this comment. Well, I don't know where you get your estimation from. 80 to 95% of Armenians. I'm not an expert in statistics, but that number seems far stretched to me. The main concern, the way that I read this question, the main concern is that a lot of people are not attending Armenian churches on a given Sunday. And yes, I share with you the same concern. And I would like to ask this question to our listeners. Why people do not attend church on a given Sunday? I would like to make this very clear. I am not a spokesperson of the Archbishop Oshagan Serpazan. I am not a spokesperson of the Armenian Church. I am just a priest with a microphone. And number two, this is an open forum where you can express your ideas without feeling that you're being judged. The way that I'm hearing this question is that the clergy need to provide an answer for a current situation. But I would like to remind our listeners that the church is a community of the baptized, and every member of that community is responsible for maintaining the integrity of that community. We are in this together, clergy and lay. Let me try to use an illustration from a certain religious book to better explain my idea. A group of people were traveling in a boat. One of them took a drill and began to drill a hole beneath himself. His companion said to him, "Why are you doing this?" replied the man. "What concern is this of yours? I am not drilling under my own place." They said to him, "But you will flood the boat for us all." So the idea of the clergy being responsible of the liturgical and pastoral aspects of the church, while lay members being responsible for the financial well-being of the church, is absurd. We ought to adopt a holistic approach in which clergy and lay members cooperate to create a healthy church, a healthy environment. There are so many people out there who would say, there is corruption in church. The church is in a bad situation. I shouldn't be going to church. Listen, this is not the kingdom, and the world is not the perfect place. We as humans are sinners, and wherever human beings are, there also are all kinds of imperfections. But it is up to us to try to make the church a better place. Remember the words of St. Paul, who says, God proved his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. So the example of Jesus should help us. Jesus did not wait for us to become perfect so that God can start to love us. In the same way, we cannot wait for the church to be perfect so that we can start attending church and becoming part of the church. It is us who can make the church a better place. If we attend, if we participate, if we provide feedback, constructive criticism, something will change. If we turn our backs and go, the church will suffer, and we will suffer. Please remember, the Armenian church is a heritage, not given to us by our forefathers, but it is a gift that has been given to us by Jesus Christ himself. And every one of us is responsible for maintaining that gift. It is our responsibility to maintain the integrity of the church, the unity of the church, the fullness of the church, so that our children and our future generations also will enjoy this God-given gift to our people and our nation. Therefore, I would like to invite everyone who have been away from church to come back to church. If you think that I or your pastor are not doing the things that we should be doing as pastors, talk to us. We are open for criticism. If you think that the Board of Trustees is not performing the way that they should, express your ideas, express your opinions, and try to help the church to thrive and be a place for everyone. Today we have with us our youth program director, Mrs. Seta Magarian, and we would like to talk about the St. Sarkis Church Youth Club. Seta, welcome to St. Sarkis Church.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. We just had our first meeting. It was absolutely fantastic. We had nearly 50 members, some past, some new faces, and we're so excited to kick off a great and exciting year ahead.
Let's talk about how did the youth club start at St. Sarkis Church.
The St. Sarkis Youth Club was formed last year to reach the youth of our community, ages 12 to 18. We want to keep them together to maintain their Armenian friendships. We want them to create new ones. We have religious-based discussions as well as discussions about current events in age-appropriate groups. We also fundraise and raise awareness for various causes in and around our community. Last year, for example, we had a food drive during the holiday season, which helped so many people in need. And this year, our very own Ariana Kazanjian, she's an elected board member, she has designed a very special t-shirt in commemoration of the 100th year of the Armenian Genocide. We were recently at the picnic. I hope you all got to see one of them.
The t-shirts were really beautiful.
They really were. Very creative. She did a great job. We also go on field trips. As a matter of fact, this holiday in November, we'll be going to Radio City to kick off the holiday season. And there's many more fun activities planned. We encourage all youth ages 12 to 18 to join us for upcoming meetings. And we look forward to a very successful and fun year.
Absolutely. I think we had a good year last year.
We had an excellent year.
The fact that we just started the youth club and we had over 35 members being part of the club. And I would want you to also speak about the other events that we had last year. And I have in my mind specifically the lecture that the youth club members gave during Lent. It was the first week of Lent and we wanted them to give us a lecture because we are so used to educate our youth and we want to give them the opportunity to speak and be heard by our community members. Would you like to reflect on that for a minute?
Absolutely. You have said in the past, when people have said our youth is our future, you've said our youth is our present. And they really are. Our youth, they're making a big difference in our community today and every day. And our Lenten lecture was one example, a great example. The youth came together, they worked so hard to show what they've learned about Lent. You helped them greatly do that. They worked so hard to put together a fantastic lecture, and in doing so, they learned in depth about Lent. They were able to capture an audience of nearly 100 members.
That's right.
And they really gave a heartfelt presentation of what they had learned about the importance of Lent and how it affects our daily lives during that time. And I look forward to many more events for them to shine, as I know they can.
They absolutely did shine on the first day of our Lenten lectures last year. And the other reason that we wanted them to do something like that was to make them feel that they belong to the community, they belong to the large family of St. Sarkis Church. And this is not only a place where we would want them to come and learn about their church, learn about their faith, and socialize, but also this would be the opportunity for them to be involved in the church and hopefully to become responsible members who would become leaders of our community in the future.
So many of our youth are heavily involved in various aspects of our wonderful growing church. They're choir members, Yeras dancers, St. Sarkis basketball team members, both girls and boys. Each day, we know how important St. Sarkis is to them, both today and in their future. I encourage all those who have not yet joined to come to one of our meetings, and I'm sure they'll have a great time.
I also encourage all the youth to be part of our youth club because we have a lot of fun activities waiting for them, as well as education. So as the pastor of St. Sarkis Church, I extend my invitations to families to bring their youth to our church because that is a really good place for them to be. Thank you very much, Seta, and I wish good luck to our youth club.
Thank you so much.
Let's go to our Bible reflection. It's something that we do every week here on the podcast. Today we read from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 16. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. I find this reading to be one of the most comforting passages from the gospel. God reveals himself in Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, who comes to us and knocks the doors of our hearts, not saying that he is the King and he wants to rule over our lives, not saying that he is the Creator and we need to obey him, but saying that he is the Shepherd. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the one who truly cares for us. One of the biggest responsibilities that shepherds assumed back in the day was accountability. They were responsible for the sheep that has been entrusted to their care. And Jesus takes upon himself that sense of responsibility, saying that he is responsible for each and every one of us. I find comfort in the words of Jesus, because no matter what my pain, my problem is, I can always rely on Jesus, because Jesus is protecting me. I hope that you too will find comfort in the words of Jesus. I might not know what your trouble is today, but I pray wholeheartedly that you may experience the comforting presence of Jesus in your heart and also in the lives of your families. May Jesus come and alleviate the pain that you are experiencing and guide you through whatever difficulties that you are going through. May God bless you. Today we will be listening to Joyous Light, Luis Zavart. These are the first words of one of the earliest hymns of the Universal Church, dating from the first century. This is a hymn that is sung in the Armenian Church during the Vespers of Saturday evening. Luis Zavart, or Joyous Light, is a melody from the album Joyous Light, performed by Isabel Bayraktarian. I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. I will be back next week. May God be with you all.